one more before the pastor comes and goes down. At the feet of Jesus, oh, that happy, happy day, that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Let's honor Faye while we sing. It was done.
Singing tonight, the old story of his wondrous love for me. The Lord bless each one tonight, praise God, and it's good to hear that her sister Eileen's got home again from the hospital. May the Lord touch her and bless her and all others. Please keep Mary in prayer as well, that the Lord give him a real touch, praise God. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And I want to speak for a few moments tonight on divergent destinies at death, because we're not all going to the same place. And I don't mean everybody in this meeting. I trust everybody in this service will be going to heaven. That's what I'm believing. That's what I'm trusting. And even if we've loved ones tonight that's not saved, I want you to believe that they're going to be there. I don't want you to say, well, they're not going. I want you to believe they're going to be there. I want you to believe. Claim them. Believe God for them. That they're going to get saved. And they're going to be there, praise God. Let's read this then. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need this evening, just lift your hand up before the Lord, and we'll remember you in prayer tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless those with their hands raised tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. What a wonderful song we've been singing this evening. Let me tell you the old story. What a story it is, Lord, of your matchless saving grace. How we praise you for it tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, will you close us in with yourself in this house and cover us with your precious blood and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God. Fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. I do take the Holy Ghost right now by faith. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you for the hands raised. Lord, that you will meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless our sister Eileen. Bless my own sister Andrea. Bless our sister Winifred. And Brother Laurie tonight. Touch every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. And for the backslider this evening, Father, you know all that's on our hearts tonight. Lord, move upon them. Bring them back to yourself. Now, Father, bless your word to our hearts tonight and speak to us for a few moments in this service. Save every lost soul and heal the sick, we pray, for your coming again. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. At the resurrection, we know it as the body. Now, outside of the rapture, like I mentioned this morning, it is the body, not the spirit or the soul of the man that is in the resurrection. The Bible speaks of the resurrection of the body. And we know that we're made up in three parts. Maybe a Brother Matthew can put up, I don't know if he got them to work or not, one of the pictures, but we're in three parts. Man's in three parts. Now I know there's a whole fallout, whether it's the soul or the spirit first and all that. I'm not going to worry about any of that tonight, whether the soul or the spirit's first, which one's first. But I'm just going to tell you there's three parts to this anyhow. Well, agree, not much of it. Now, whether the soul or the spirit or whatever, that's, to me, there's arguments over that where there shouldn't be. Because what difference will it make? You know, there's three parts and that's just the end of it. But there's three parts. Your body, soul, and spirit. And the body, the dwelling, and the soul, and the spirit. And then you've all the five functions of your body, the five inlets to the body, the hearing and the tasting and the seeing and all them functions, the five functions of the body. And then we know there's the faith one, the five senses, but there's six, which is the faith sense, where you don't smell it or see it or taste it or hear it, but you believe it. So you're not working on your physical body for it. And the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So sometimes we mightn't see it, we mightn't hear it, we mightn't feel it. But God can still do it. And sometimes somebody can come for prayer and they can say, I feel healed. And then some other time they mightn't feel a thing. Now because somebody doesn't feel anything when they're prayed for, doesn't mean they're not healed. That's only one of your senses of the body. But the sixth sense, if it doesn't feel it, it'll still say I'm healed. Why? Because the word of God says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But that's really my message tonight, but I'm just mention it as we're going. We see Paul here uses the phrase, sanctify you completely. So Paul talks about sanctifying the body, the soul, the spirit, the complete man. Sanctify you completely. This indicates that he is concerned with the total nature and personality of each and every Christian whom he's praying for. And you know, the Bible talks about the soul of man being precious in the eyes of God. And Paul even talks about handing somebody over for the destruction of the flesh so that their soul would be saved. Now that's some prayer, isn't it? And some statement. But Paul said that their flesh might be destroyed, but their soul saved. And then the Bible speaks about people that they'll get to heaven just to know more, basically. They're saved. But I'll tell you, I don't believe just no more myself, I'm honest with you. Because you're saved, you're saved. And if you're saved, you're in. How many believe that tonight? It sort of makes out that God just about done it. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, maybe the individual just about got it. We'll agree with that. But then you have to look at it like God knew them anyhow. That they were going to come even if they come late. God still knew it. And isn't it great if somebody gets saved? You know, I know I've told this testimony before, but I'm going to tell it again anyhow, because I got a lot of stick at this one funeral there, and I got a lot of stick after it, and even the fellow's brothers gave me a bit of stick, but it didn't flinch me one bit. Raymond Gorman, whom a lot of people in this room will know well, was a rough man, and he definitely didn't live for the Lord. But he was given up to die. He wasn't well, and his daughter rang me, Karen, and Karen's gone now as well. They're near all gone. All them young ones, younger than me, a lot of them, and they're all gone. But she rang me and she said, "Tommy, my dad's asking for you." And I says, "I'll come and see him." And I went to the hospital to see him, and they said to me, "We think you're too late. We think he's went. And he's on machines and things, and I think he's went." And his daughter was crying, and they were crying. And then they sent me off to a room, and I was just praying to the Lord. And I felt that maybe I would get to see him. And a real witness in myself, I'd get to see him. And his daughter says, "Tommy, you must come quick. He's come round. And he's asking for you specifically." And I went in and seen him. And I says, "Remy, do you want to get right with God?" And he says, "I do. I want to get right with God." And he repented and he prayed and he asked the Lord to save him there in the hospital. And he didn't last another 10 minutes till he went. He went on. And then I buried him, and here I'm doing the funeral service for a man. What other way can I tell you? He lived whatever way he lived for the world, flesh. But on his dying bed, he's come to the Lord. I know he'd made professions before in his life. I don't know how sincere they were or they won't, but I know one thing. He repented and came to the Lord. He's dying. And he asked the Lord to forgive him, and he asked the Lord into his heart to save him. And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I believe he got saved. I tell you, I done the funeral and I told how Remy had got saved. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people, they were not happy that Remy got saved. I think they'd have been more happier if they went out with a bottle of whiskey in his hand. That's how some people are. But nevertheless, he went out anyway and he got saved. And I'll tell you one thing, salvation's the most important thing, isn't it? In Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and the discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." So we can, whatever we are in this outside man, and whatever front we have or put up, whether it's true or false, God knows us right inside. He knows the real person, and he discerns the very thoughts and intents of the heart, and his word discerns between the soul and the spirit. And God's word can do that. And this verse gives the same threefold debate in the man's total personality, in the spirit, soul, and body. And in the instance, the body is represented by the actual physical parts. Here mentioned as the joints and the marrow. They're mentioned in the Bible. And in Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping things that creepeth upon the earth." Man's made in the image of God. He's not made in the image of a monkey, but he's made in the image of God. And there's three parts to man, the total personality, the spirit, the soul, and the body. In Genesis 2:7, and it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils breath of life, and the man became a living soul." So he made him, but he still wasn't living till he breathed into him. And when he breathed into him, he became a living soul. So not only the physical body, but the soul was living. And I tell you, when somebody goes to the grave, there's a part that goes to the grave. That's the physical part. But there's a soul, there's a spirit that goes to be with the Lord. And I tell you, when man's born again in the Spirit of God, and you think of the Lord Jesus went to heaven, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's come back on the church. And yet we know we have a high priest in heaven. And I'm not preaching three persons because I don't believe in it, but there is three elements or parts or functions to God, no matter how you look at it. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're one, that's the truth. And there we are, the same. You're one person sitting there tonight, but there's three elements, tell you. But yet you're one person, but there's three elements, tell you. And when somebody's physical body goes to the grave, it's not the end. There's a soul, a spirit that goes to be with the Lord. You know, when the Lord Jesus came and he died for us on the cross, he had a soul. And you know, an animal's no soul. And when an animal's blood is shed, that animal's blood goes into the ground, it congeals and it dries up. It can't redeem nobody. And even when they used it in the Old Testament, it only covered sin for a season, and the next year they offered it again. But the blood of Jesus Christ is different. There's a life in that blood that goes back on the true believer. And didn't the book of Romans say the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you? It will quicken your mortal body. The Holy Spirit can quicken your physical body. And that's why you can feel it. You can feel it sometimes. How many believes what I'm saying tonight? The Holy Spirit can come on you at times and you can feel it in your body because it's coming on you. The Bible indicates that the spirit and soul are not identical but are two distinct elements together making up the immortal part of the man. And this is another study, another message. I won't have time to go into it all tonight, but the physical matter of the part of man, his body, is from below, from the earth. The invisible material part of man is spirit and soul is from above, from God himself. And even when God made Adam in the beginning, and I've read yet, he made him from the dust of the ground. But then God breathed into him, and the soul didn't come from the dust of the ground. It come from God, from the breath of God. And your soul didn't come from the dust of the ground, but you have a soul and a spirit that comes from Almighty God. And even though the body could go into the ground, and it's amazing, and I don't believe any preacher fully understands it, that after the rapture, and after we go to be with the Lord, and when we come back with the Lord, you know, when the grave's open, and they're going to have a body change, and the soul and body is a reuniting, but it's a new body, a glorified body, the Bible calls it. And them graves are going to open. And even though the soul and the spirit's not in the grave, there's a body in that grave. And you think if that body's in the sea, it'll come out of it. If it's under concrete, it's coming out of it. It'll not matter where that body's placed or where it's put, or if it's cut up, or if it's in a million pieces. God in the beginning made it from the dust, and God's going to bring it together again. And he's going to give it a glorified body. And I tell you, that's why Paul says, I show you a mystery. How can it be explained? This is a supernatural power of God. You see, the invisible immortal part of man is spirit and soul is from above, from God himself. At death, the invisible immortal elements of man is spirit and soul is released from the earthly vessel. Now you think about even the Lord Jesus himself. God made a temple. God says that. God says he made that temple. And God says, I will come to that temple. And then the Lord say that if you tear this temple down in 3 days, I'll raise it again. And they said, we've been 50 years building it. And they were thinking of a natural building, but he's talking about his body. And we have a body, but we have a soul and we have a spirit. Therefore, by the process of the burial, man's material part of his body is restored again to the earth from which it came. And it goes back to whatever state it was originally. And even where there's no actual burial, man's body after death is always subject to some process, you know, of compensation of some sort, which ultimately restores it to its original material elements. It goes back to it. No matter how beautiful a person is here in the physical form in the grave, they'll go back to the dust of the earth. But it amazes me that God is going to bring that soul and that spirit, and that body's going to come out, and it's going to be changed in a glorified body. And how God can do that, it's a mystery. But God's going to do it. But you see, man's body also, the resurrection, will be raised again from the same material elements. God's going to do it. Man's spirit separated from a body. Ecclesiastes 1:3. What profit have a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? What profit is it? 29 times this word occurs in the Bible. What profit is it? What profit is it to the man tonight if he gains the whole world, the Bible says, and loses his own soul? There's so much emphasis today put on the physical body. People are spending millions in cosmetics and all sorts of stuff to make this body, you know, look better and do better. And some of that could be all right. But the thing is, it's dead. But a man and woman that's born again, you have a soul, you have a spirit that's not dying. And it cannot die. And even if the rapture doesn't take place in our lifetime, you've still a soul and a spirit that won't die and go to be with the Lord. And then one day, your body's going to be changed and come out of the grave. The question with a slight variance in wording is repeated several times here when we've read Ecclesiastes through the book. And the phrase is under the sun. 29 times this particular phrase, under the sun, indicates a deliberate limitation which Solomon sets to all his inquiries and conclusions throughout the book. Everything under the sun. The entire book is concerned only with things under the sun, that is, with things which are temporal and material. And everything under the sun is temporal, it's material. And if you lived in a cottage tonight or in a mansion tonight, and you're going to the grave, what difference will it make? None whatsoever. You see, it's temporal. Thing which belong to the realm of time and this present world order. The temporal. The for a time, the for a season. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And God wants us to look beyond what's seen tonight in the temporal, but God wants us to look to the eternal. And that's why it's so important that our children get saved. God's no grandchildren. Because the parents are good Christians doesn't guarantee that children will be saved. Every person must be saved. God's no grandchildren, only sons and daughters. And we need to pray for our loved ones that God will move them and they get saved. Now Paul here draws clear dividing line between the two different classes of things. The things which are seen, which are temporal, and the things which are unseen, which are eternal. So when we apply this to Solomon's book, it's about things which are temporal. And we, you know, it's a heartbreak when someone goes on and they go to the grave, but it's temporal. There's going to be a temporal separation. But if they're really born again, and you're born again, there's going to be a meeting again. The separation's temporal, because there's going to be a meeting again. I remember hearing that song, or some sister sang it many years ago at Ava Street. I'll meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. Amen. And we're going to meet again in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. It's temporal. But because of the work of Christ on the cross, we have something that's not temporal. It's eternal. With everlasting life tonight. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 18 to 21. And I said in mine heart concerning the state of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Now this is strong language, but this is the Bible. And this is the language that people need to understand, and the language that people need to realize, that man's no better than a beast to the field that's not saved. No better. And a man can become as low as a beast. A man or a woman can go as low as a beast. They can do things that you never would think they would do, but they can. And that's why we need to be saved. We need the Lord's salvation. It says it's all vanity. Verse 20. And go on to one place. All are of the dust, and turn to the dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, or the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Now notice it talks of the spirit of the beast, not the soul. But you see, it's temporal. All these things are temporal. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. A living soul. Because of the breath of God. Now, we maybe don't estimate it as high as we should, or we're familiar with it, even when we sing it and say it, but it's such a truth. When we see here, God breathed in the man and it become a living soul, and we sing, breathe on me, Holy Spirit. I tell you, when the Holy Spirit breathes on you, it'll do something. Don't think when the Holy Spirit comes in a meeting, when the Holy Spirit breathes in a meeting, this is the same Spirit of Almighty God that made a dead man live. He became alive. And the Bible says, you who were dead in trespasses or sins, now he's made alive. That's the same Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that quickens us. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The Spirit. And the Bible talks a lot about the Spirit and the soul. What takes place when the spirit of man at death is released from the body is brought to God, the Creator. That's where it goes. It returns to God. I've showed you from Ecclesiastes 12:7 that it returns back to God. You see what takes place. The appearance of the spirit of man before God is not the final judgment, which will take place only after the resurrection. The spirit of the wicked and the ungodly can have no permanent access to the presence of God. So they go to a place called hell. whether suffering, for the worm dieth not. But they're going to come out of that one day, and there's going to be a judgment. The righteous are separated from the wicked. There's a separation. After death, there's a complete and permanent separation between the departed spirit to the righteous and the wicked. You say, brother, where do you get that? The Bible, from Luke's Gospel. Lazarus and the rich man. He fared sumptuously every day. The beggar. That poor beggar had nothing. But the angels packed him as they say to heaven. But the rich man opened his eyes up in hell. And he says there's a gulf between us. You know, let me tell you this, and I remember me and my father went to hear this message. You remember the time of the Gulf War? Well, there was a certain pastor. I'll just tell you, he was small and plays the guitar, and you can fit in the rest. He put a big advert in the paper. He's preaching about the Gulf. We thought it was the Gulf War. He's preaching a sermon in the word of the Lord about the Gulf War, and he preached about the great gulf fixed between us. We were disappointed because we thought he'd preach about the Gulf War. Maybe the Lord spoke to him. But he preached about the great gulf between us. Now, there's nothing wrong what he said, but the title and the message. But it's true, isn't it? They're separated. And I tell you, think of it, sometimes you look at people and they're blessed down here. And they've everything anybody could want. And some of them is that greedy, it's unreal. Unbelievable. And they wouldn't do a thing for you. They're holding on to it all. And they've that much money, they couldn't spend it in a lifetime. And they're keeping it. But yet the Bible warns us about two men like that, isn't it? The one rich, and the one wasn't. I said it's hard for a rich man to enter heaven. Hard for a rich man to enter heaven as it is for the camel to go through the eye of the needle. And the eye of the needle is the gate in Jerusalem's opened, only wide enough that a man can fit through. So the camel can't go through it, that's what it means. And you have to strip the old camel off to try and get him through. And I tell you, there's a lot of men today and they need stripped off before they'll ever get to heaven. Now I know then there's other men that has plenty and God uses them. They're not all the same. We can't tar everybody with a one brush. The condition of the departed spirits of the righteous was different in the period before death and the resurrection of Christ than the condition now in the present dispensation. I want to show you a couple of biblical examples. What I'm talking about tonight of God's judgment upon the present king of Babylon. Isaiah verse 9 and 10. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It have raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? I believe that's the devil. And this is the fellow that made the nations tremble. And they're going to say, is that him? And hell's lifted up to meet him. And how many this evening's going to hell? It's a solemn statement, but it's a true one. And they've no time for God, and they've no time for the things of God. And if you went somewhere and mentioned a few wee things to try and guide people the right road, they tell you, keep quiet, you don't need to be talking like that here. Do you ever get that? Don't you be starting here. Well, where will you start? Where will you start? You see, when you hear, don't start here. That's the time to get your sleeves rolled up and get tore into about right. Because where would you start? Seen it for years. But I'll tell you, you go on to a building site and I know you'll agree what I'm telling you. You'll not need to worry about him starting to tell you some old dirty joke. Or saying things what you don't want to hear. They'll not worry about starting. Sure they won't. And they'll not worry about offending you or not. They'll say it. and all what they watch and what they do. They'll not worry about it. They've no respect for you or the things of God. And the old saying's true, when the iron's hot, strike it. I remember standing at our brother John Kernighan's grandfather's funeral, Robert Kernighan, standing just at the end of the house near the road coming up. There's a man there that kept pigeons, and Robert kept, he'd great distance pigeons, they're flying out of France. And that's there, and there's a man there, and he had the dirtiest mouth on him. And I tell you, I gave it to him, I'll be honest with you, didn't hold back. And he barked at me like a collie dog. He gnashed on me with his teeth. And he didn't want to hear no preaching. And he didn't want to hear nothing about God or the things of God. And he never lasted 2 months till he was buried himself. The Bible says, beware lest God take you with a stroke. And a great ransom can't deliver you. I'll tell you, those people don't want to hear it, and they'll tell you, don't do it here. This is no place to do it. And it's true with preaching on the street, isn't it? Now, we mightn't agree with all some preachers preaching the streets, but let's look at it this way. What about the other stuff that's going on in the streets? And there's not a word about it. What about the gay right marches? What about the sports today? What about the sports in schools and colleges where a woman is competing and the next thing some young man decides he's a woman and he's competing against her? If the whole thing was run right, there'd be a couple of nice strapping fellas would take him away to the side. And as I always said, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He never made Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. And God made a woman one particular way, and he made a man another particular way. And there's no mistaking it. They're totally different. And a man looks at a woman, and he should like what he sees. And a woman looks at a man, she likes what she sees. And that's the way God made it. And when a young man starts to have a desire for a woman, and he's a young man, that's called normal behavior. There's nothing wrong with it. I hear such rubbish today. I'm worried. Nonsense. But they're not worried when the woman wants to be a man and the man wants to be a woman. There's no worry. It's like the man went into the bathroom at a certain place, followed the young woman in. And he was a man, she was a young girl. But his father went in behind him. And they said, what do you do that for? He says, I'm identifying as a dentist today. Tooth fairy. He's identifying as a tooth fairy. That's it. You might have got it, but... Use it if young girls and they go in somewhere, but you want some old boy following them in. I certainly wouldn't. You'd want to follow in behind him and send him back out again. When you've been your rights to do it. Especially for your own family. But there's a separation. You see, the world will tell us quickly what we're not allowed to do, but they'll do whatever they want. They will do what they want. Ezekiel 32, let me read you a few verses, and I'm going to close in a moment. Ezekiel 32, verse 17. It came to pass also in the 28th year, in the 14th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt and cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations under the neither parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. Whom dost thou pass in the beauty? Go down and be thou led with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all her multitudes. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell, with them that help him. They are gone down, they lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. They're unclean before God. And there's many unclean before God today, but they don't want to change. You see, this is why this is Laodicea we're living in. Laodicea means people's rights. I will do what I want. Somebody's heard that. No, but the people, I'll do my own thing. You know, see, a saying, what's going around now, it's been going around for a while, when something goes wrong or it doesn't work out right, and they'll turn around and say, it is what it is. I hate that. I'll be honest with you, I despise that. It is what it is. That's not Bible language. Good luck's another one. Now, I know people mean well, good luck. But sure, if you had good luck, maybe something will happen well for you. I believe in God's blessing. Not good luck. The Lord bless you. It is what it is. Many's heard that. And then you see young people on the, from the back window of the car, no fear. But I tell you, when hell's, when they'll come to hell, there'll be fear. It's going to be an awful thing, isn't it? Verse 22, and Asher is there, and all the company, his graves are about him, all them that are slain, fallen by the sword, whose groves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused Tyre in the land of the living. There is Elam, and all the multitude round about her grave, all them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down circumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their Tyre in the land of the living. Yea, have they borne their shame with them down to the pit. It continues all down to the pit. And then you could go to Luke's gospel. And Luke's gospel speaks of a certain rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, which fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar. Two opposites. One went into the presence of God, which was Abraham's bosom. One went to the pit. And you know, when Jesus rose, he emptied Abraham's bosom. They went with him, didn't they? They were brought out of it. But it was a realm for the Old Testament saints. And they couldn't go to heaven until the blood of Jesus was shed. And I don't want to take the time tonight to go into all that. But Christ the pattern. When you look at the facts, Christ during the period between his death and his resurrection, in Psalms 8, 16, sorry, verse 8 to 11, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave a soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and the presence of thy fullness of joy at thy right hand for pleasures forevermore. Now we know the Lord never saw corruption, and raised up the third day. But you think of the bodies that's been in the grave for years and years and years. God will raise them out of it. And God will change them with his power. Next 2:25 to 28, for David speaketh concerning him, for I saw the Lord always before my face. And he's quoting from the Psalms. And Paul in Acts 13:34 is concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. It'll never happen again. You see, Christ's body was laid in the tomb, but it did not suffer any process of corruption. His spirit descended into the place of the departed spirits, but did not remain there for longer than the period between his death and his resurrection. But during that time, he preached to them, and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Graves are going to be emptied. I'm going to have to close because my time's gone. I'm going to close just in a moment. See, the Old Testament revelation confirmed by the more detailed revelation in the New Testament. Jesus said to the thief on the cross in Luke 20, 23, verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, he never said to them, where I'm going, you can't come, or it's a separate place. But he said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And now Paul says we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. I'm going to close because my time's gone. But I want you to be encouraged tonight. And not only do I want you to be encouraged, I want you, if you get a chance to take it, if you get a chance, you take it. Don't hold back. Oh, but brother, I might offend some people. Well, they might offend you, but they'll not worry too much about it, I wouldn't think. The Lord's coming. He's coming again. And I tell you, we need to be saved. We need to have Christ as our Savior. And I believe in healing all my heart. But I believe the most important thing in this life is to be saved. And ready for the coming of the Lord. Saved. Whether you're old or whether you're young, you need to be saved. And Ramey gets saved. He made a clear decision to be saved. And a lot of people didn't like it. You know what? I think back of it to that service. And let me tell you this as I close. And Brother Gary's going to come. But let me just tell you this. God makes no mistakes. I didn't know I'd be doing that service. But in that service, there's a young man I went to school with called Ray Stewart. He died some years ago. He was my class at school. Never got saved at an off. Also a cousin of mine, Deborah Gorman, dead. One of them was burned in the flat in Dromore. They were all at that funeral. And they all heard the gospel. And how many people hear the gospel, but they put it off for another day? And how many's been close? Paul preached to King Agrippa, and King Agrippa said, "Paul, you've almost persuaded me. I'm close, Paul. I'll tell you what, Paul, I'll call on you again. But we don't hear if I'm ever coming." God made no mistakes. And look at the funerals. And thank God, I'm not saying all funerals, but a lot of the funerals. In this wee country, there is men that preach the gospel. There definitely is. And they share the gospel. And people that would never enter a church will come to a funeral. And they hear the gospel. And they have no excuse. The Lord's coming again. God bless you tonight. Next Sunday night, our brother Gary's going to be preaching. And then the following Sunday night, I've asked our brother George to come and share. George goes on the streets, preaches. He's been doing it for a lifetime. And when I think of George, I think of the wee man in Australia. And that wee man in Australia retired and he went on the streets. And he'd meet people. And he'd just say a simple few words to them about the Lord. And he never thought he had any effect. He was an old man. But some people started discovering people's testimonies were linking back to that man. And they went to visit him and they made them tea. And it was hundreds and hundreds of people that had been reached by the Lord through that one wee man just saying a few words. And I tell you, just a few words can make a difference. God bless you tonight. Let's stand our feet tonight. Well, every head bowed and every eye closed. If anyone would say, "Brother, will you pray for me tonight?" Will you lift your hand up before the Lord? God bless you. God bless you. And maybe somebody listening in and you're not saved. You need to get saved. You need to call on the name of the Lord. There's nothing as wonderful as seeing somebody coming to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for salvation. And Lord, we've no price to pay for it, but it's free. Your gift to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you'll bless especially the hands raised in this room tonight. Lord, that you'll meet every need and answer prayer in Jesus' precious name. For those listening in, may you speak to them and move upon them. And Lord, may men and women get saved, for you know you're coming again. For those of us who have loved ones that's went on, Lord, we're encouraged from your word that we're going to meet again. There's going to be a meeting again just inside the eastern gate. There's going to be a meeting again. We praise you for it. Father, will you help us to run the race which's left? Help us to run the race and serve you with all of our hearts till thou would come or call. Bless your people now tonight and this incoming week. May you bless them. May you do them good. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. I ask you especially tonight for the nurses and for all the doctors. We thank you for every one of them. For all that they do, pray you'll bless them, strengthen them. We pray for your own people, Israel, tonight. Father, that you'll watch over Israel, protect Israel from all the wiles of the enemy. And may your mighty hand be upon Israel. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one. We'll be back Thursday night at 7:30. The Lord willing and the Lord is willing. God bless you.
Amen. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be. When from sin our hearts are pure. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Hear this word he shows us today. Come to
give us house, Lord, salvation, Lord. Lord, just pray you'll save them, restore the backsliding in our home, Lord. Lord, we want to see them go to hell, Lord. We Lord. We just pray tonight you'll move on them, Lord, and draw them back by the Holy Ghost, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for each other tonight, Lord. I pray you bless Eileen tonight, and also, Lord, our sister Eileen, and Larry, Lord, and all the ones who are not well tonight, Lord. Touch them, especially Lord, Tommy's sister, Lord. Touch her tonight, also, Lord. Lord, I pray you touch them in their bodies and raise them up again, Lord, for good health, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, your word says today, if you hear his voice, heart, mark your heart.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray tonight, Lord God, that you, Lord, we'll see revival, Lord. Help us bring, we'll see revival even in this church, Lord. Help us, Lord, bring them in, Lord, under the sound of the gospel. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you'll give us all visions, Lord. Yes. But your word said, without a vision, people perish.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, you're in amongst us, Lord. We thank you most tonight for the precious blood of Jesus Christ shall never
yes.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
Out this morning, how you are the great I am. Lord, we yes. thank you tonight, Lord, there's nothing yes. impossible. Jesus. Lord, you're supernatural,
yes,
God.
Lord.
And Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for our children of you tonight, Lord. And just pray tonight, Lord, you'll keep us safe this week.
Yes.
And even use this week, Lord, for your glory.
Yes,
Lord, you said in your word, Lord, if you lift, we lift you up, we'll draw all men to yourself, Lord. Help
yes,
us, Lord,
Lord,
lift you up, Lord, daily, Lord. And Lord, I pray you keep us all safe this week, Lord.
Yes,
in
Jesus.
The name of Jesus Christ. Bless the children also, Lord, connect to this church. Thank you for them, Lord. Bless them all, Lord, each one of them. It's good.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you tonight for what you want to do amongst us.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we'll sing a little chorus off with Dave. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. The Lord bless you as you go through the week. We'll be back again this Thursday evening at 7:30. Please come along if you can. In prayer and Bible study.
Hosanna.